Morning. So good to see you all this morning, and I want to give a quick welcome to any visitors that we have joining us today. We're so happy that you're here. If y'all would, we have some guest cards in the back of the pews, and if you want to scan the QR code and just let us know that you're here, we'd love to follow back up with you and say hi and thank you for being here, or there's a way that you can flip it over and fill out some information on the back. But we're so happy you're here today. And also, worship team. Whoa, that was awesome. that was super beautiful. Thank you guys for leading us to the throne of God. So we are currently going through a series called Formation, emphasis on the four, because there's four things here. We know that's not the way formation is supposed to be spelled, but the emphasis is four, therefore formation. And it's all about how we as a church are seeking greater intentionality in our spiritual formation as disciples of Jesus. I advise you to go back and watch the last couple of weeks where we have talked about a couple other things to get caught up to speed, one, and two, because there were some action steps in those, and we would love for everybody to participate in that. But each sermon in this series is hitting an action that we want to prioritize as a church. The first week was about growing in our relationship with God. Last week was about gathering with our fellow disciples of Jesus. And this week, we're talking about giving. Whenever I say the word giving, it may make your heart like immediately be like, ugh, cringe a little bit, right? Nothing quite sucks the air out of the room like talking about money. And though that is certainly a part of giving, whenever we're talking about giving in light of formation and this movement in our church, it's much more holistic. Giving as it is here is about being generous with all of the resources that God has blessed us with. This does include our money, yes, but also our time, our possessions, our power, the gifting that God has given us. God is the giver of all good things, and he wants us to be generous with what he has given to us. I think the best place to start a conversation about holistic giving is to look none other than to the person that we are following after, Jesus. And let's look at my favorite passage, Philippians chapter 2. I love this. It's in my office because I love it that much. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That'll preach right there. This is one of the most profound concepts in all of Christianity. The God that is sovereign over all the universe, like what we were seeing this morning in worship. The God that created the universe by merely speaking it into existence became human, became like us. And he didn't come like a king expecting everybody to bow at his feet and give him all the luxury in the world. He bowed at our feet to wash our feet. What? In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says he didn't come to be served, but to serve. He made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant and showcased the greatest demonstration of love in history by willingly dying on the cross for us. Our God emptied himself. The Greek word there is kenao, which means literally to empty or to pour out. He emptied himself. He limited himself by becoming like us, and he gave himself for us. What kind of God do we serve? Isn't God unfathomably good? The one who is entitled to everything in the universe chose the path of servanthood. chose the path of sacrifice or giving. Whereas we are far more likely to think that we're a pretty big deal. And we are entitled to all of the finest things, which is just so foolish. We just saw that zoomed out view of the universe and how small and insignificant we are in the grand scheme of things. Every good thing that we have been given in life is a gift from God. We own nothing. We have been given resources by God, which we are to steward responsibly. But ownership is a myth. Except for the way that the Chiefs own the rest of the NFL, but that's another point. But in reality, we ought to come at things with an angle of gratitude because we have experienced such blessings from God. I watched an interview this past week with Caitlin Clark, who was just drafted into the WNBA, and she's like truly a once-in-a-lifetime player. And in that post-draft interview, she said the thing that she was the proudest of was that she earned it. That through her hard work and determination, she landed where she did. And though her hard work definitely helped her in her journey get to that point, so did growing up in a situation where you had tremendous opportunity for something like this, and being raised in a family that affirmed you and challenged you to be better, which I'm sure she wouldn't disagree with. But really, how much of that do you earn? And I'm not trying to paint her in a bad light because she does seem like a grateful person, but I'm just exposing some of the way that we as humans think about things. We didn't fully get where we are in life because we pulled ourselves up from our bootstraps. Every good thing in our life is a gift from God, period. We wouldn't even be breathing in this moment if it was not for God. So if the God of the universe that we got perspective of today, if the God of the universe rejects entitlement and chooses the path of emptying himself, how much more should we? As Philippians says, this is the mindset that we are to have with one another. Similarly, as Jesus is washing his disciples' feet in John 13, he says this, "Now that I, your Lord, your master and teacher, your rabbi, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So this morning, our action step, if you would just go ahead and take off your shoes and find someone you don't know, and we're going to all wash each other's feet. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. But exercises like that are very helpful. But we have an example to follow here in Jesus, one of humble service, one of pouring out of ourselves. It's funny that Paula was reading Romans 12. Another one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Romans 12. And Romans 12, 1, I think is nailing what we're talking about today. All of Romans is leading up to this moment in chapter 12. After talking about the unfathomable mercy and goodness of God in the first 11 chapters. And how the Gentiles are now grafted into God's people because of what Christ has done. Having receive this grace and this feeling and feeling the love of God, what is the response that we ought to have? Romans 12, 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," if there was ever a time to capitalize M on mercy, it's probably this one, "to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Our whole being, our whole lives, is to be a sacrifice for God, a kana'o, an emptying out, a pouring out, an offering in service to our Lord. That is real worship. It is a surrendering of our entire lives, not just what happens on Sunday mornings, to give our lives in response to the great gift that we have been given. And if we don't have a great relationship with God, hearing someone say, all right, here's what you need to do, sacrifice your whole lives to God today. You might be like, that sounds terrible. Why on earth would anybody want to sacrifice or give of their whole lives for anything, God or anything else? And the answer is much more that you get to avoid going to hell and you get to go to heaven when you die. It is the very emptying of our lives that we find our lives. Being a living sacrifice leads to a life of abundance. Jesus didn't show us how to be a servant, give us that example, and instruct us to follow in that path just to make us miserable human beings. It is in losing our lives that we gain it. In the very act of giving, we are actually receiving some of that joy and delight from God. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Whenever we sacrifice, whenever we do good works for God, he delights in it. It's something that he made us for, to do good works. We all want to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And whenever we give, we are taking the form of a servant. It's like receiving a little bit of that affirmation from God. Not in this legalistic sense of earning your salvation, but whenever we walk in Christ's example, we experience this freedom and hit this thing in our souls that feels like this is what I was created for. Whenever we give, there is something that is actually transforming our hearts. The act of giving is a demonstration of love, and love is the very thing that we were created from and created for. To both receive God's love and then to give love. It's important to note that there is a receiving component in this as well. Part of being a giving church means we need to be a receiving church. I know there's this cultural thing that the moment someone tries to give you a gift or pay for your meal or something, it's met with this immediate resistance. And I think the intention behind that is normally a good one. Not wanting to have somebody else use their resources on you whenever, you know, you're self-sufficient and that sort of thing. But that's not at all the model we see in Scripture. In Matthew 26, when a woman pours out her dowry on the feet of Jesus, his disciples rebuke her for wasting that money. They were thinking about good stewardship, which I'm sure a lot of us would be thinking that way. What a total waste. But Jesus didn't say that. He questioned his disciples. Why criticize this woman for doing a good thing to me? This was an act of worship for this woman. We don't want to get in the way of somebody else worshiping God. Or you see, whenever Peter is resistant to Jesus washing his feet, and Jesus is basically like, you need to let me wash your feet, Peter. And then he finally caves. But you see that resistance. Whenever we resist somebody's giving, we are preventing good from being done. It's possible that the Spirit of God was convicting this person to do this kind act. So why would we want to get in the way of that? And here's the thing. You can always pay it forward. You can always give to somebody else. If you don't need that gift or money, give it away. And another bonus to giving, particularly giving towards good things, is we are spreading goodness into the world. We're bringing heaven that much closer. Giving of ourselves for the good of the world pushes back against the evil and injustice that is present in our world that causes so much brokenness. There is such an impact that comes whenever we give. And I think that gives us a lot of purpose in life. Whether it's sacrificing our money or using our possessions in a way that's glorifying God or serving other people and thus sacrificing our time or using our gifting or any influence we have, however it is that you demonstrate love as an outpouring, giving can alter eternal trajectories. And I could give you story after story after story after story where that is true. In my life, just a quick handful. There is a lady at my church growing up who sacrificed her time, gave of her time to hear me whenever I was at a very low point in my life, just to listen, and then to encourage me that maybe God has better plans for my life. That changed me. Or I think about in college, one of my Bible professors who is an editor for Anchor Bible Dictionary, he used his limited time to read through one of my papers meticulously, and at the end of it, say that I write well. When the narrative that I had believed about myself was that I am a terrible reader and a terrible writer, and I'm never gonna make it and things like that. But little things like that, those little sacrifices, those outpourings have shaped my life and changed my life so greatly. And then I look at my own life, and oftentimes I'm frustrated. All the people that I admire the most are givers in a holistic sense. And it's just hasn't been a natural thing for me. I've been such a selfish person in my life. Greatly concerned about my goals and my time and my money. And I think I've shared this with y'all before. I remember in college, I wouldn't even share with my roommates a chip from my chip bag. And I know I'm not alone in that. Maybe I am alone in the chip thing. I'm not alone in the fact that we all have selfishness in us. Every time we participate in road rage, anytime that we are apathetic towards other people, anytime that we antagonize people who are different than we are living for ourselves. And this is something that I am praying for the Spirit of God to refine in me. That by the time the end of my life comes around, and hopefully before that point, that people would consider me a sacrificial, giving-oriented person. That I lived a life of love and goodness, not that I kept to myself and lived for myself. We need to be givers. So how are we as a church going to be emphasizing giving together? One way that we would love for our whole church to give is to give of our time to volunteer in one of the ministries of our church that needs some help. And I think about 1 Peter 4, where Peter is appealing to the church to love one another. And in verse 10, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are to use the gifts that we have been given to serve other people, hence our mission statement, why we have serve others in there. And we do so as stewards of God's grace, which God's grace is the greatest gift that we have been given. So in response to God's grace, we are to use our time for the good of other people. And Ephesians 6 even adds to that, that we need to give of our time, especially for those who are a part of the church. So in a little bit, we're gonna ask that you fill out, get ready for this, a one question survey, woo! So that we can streamline all of the interest that there may be or desire to serve in a particular ministry. And for each of the ministries in this survey, we're gonna include a little bit about the ministry and what volunteering opportunities are actually present whenever you click on the little checkbox. And hopefully one of these opportunities, one of these ministry opportunities is something that lines up with your passion or maybe lines up with your gifting. That would be ideal if that happens. And there's even an other box that will be a part of that survey, that if there's a way that you would like to suggest how you can serve or volunteer or help our church, that is available as well. And I want to be very clear, filling out this survey does not mean that you are going to serve in the nursery until you die. That's not what we're talking about. We want to work with your schedule and your availability. And the beautiful thing is, the more people that sign up for things like this, the less time commitment it is for everybody. So if we get a lot of participation, we're really going to be doing a lot of great things. And again, if you feel like you're in a season where you are too busy, where you have no space to do something like this, it might be a good opportunity to start reprioritizing some things in your life, to create opportunities to give. Or if you feel like you've done your time, the truth is you might be missing out on something special that God has for you. And thank goodness Jesus doesn't act that same way every time that we sin. I've given you enough grace. I've done my part. You should know better now. There are many needs to fill in this church because we are doing great, great things. We need people to pour into our children. We need help running things on Sunday mornings. We need help with the small detail logistic things and reaching out to our community, whether it's children's ministry or hospitality team or our prayer team, helping out with audio visual. So many more things. There is good work to be done here at our church, and we need your help. So volunteering time is one action step. The other way that we would love for y'all to be engaged is giving of your money, really in all kinds of ways, but specifically we ask for your consistent monetary partnership with the efforts that are going on here at Forth. It is impossible to do the good work that we are doing without your donations. And at least since the time of Cain and Abel, humans have been giving their resources to God. There's debate about the total percentage that Israel used to tithe their produce and resources. I've heard anything from 10% or 23% or 30%. But the gist is giving is important. And some might bring up that there's no specific command about a percentage in the New Testament. Therefore, it's not as necessary of a thing. However, we see much more of an emphasis of giving in the New Testament. Jesus instructed his followers to store treasures in heaven and to give to anyone who asks. And if someone asks for your tunic, you don't say, "I'm sorry, this is Gucci, I'm gonna keep it." You say, "Okay, I'll buy you two." That radical generosity inspired by Jesus was dialed up to 100 with the early church. In Acts chapter 2, we read this: all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And in chapter 4, a little bit later, it said that none of them had need because they were so generous. Let that sink in for a second. There were no needs among them. Talk about radical generosity. I wonder what would happen if we as a church viewed all that we have like the early church did, that they are not possessions, as if we own it, but it's something that's actually owned by God and to be used for his glory. That would certainly make it a lot easier to surrender, I think. But the point is the people of God have always been giving because we recognize how much we have been given by God. It is so tempting to hold on to our money tightly. If you read the New Testament, it talks a lot about greed and wealth. You can't avoid it if you're reading the words of Jesus. Paul even says, the love of money is the root of all evil. It is so much easier for us as people to trust in our own abilities, trust in our own means, as opposed to trusting in God. And whenever we're trusting in ourselves, we have a very self-focused view. But whenever we give of our money, it is an actual demonstration of faith and trust that God is going to ultimately provide everything that I need. It's actually putting your money where your mouth is. And I understand talking about money is a touchy subject, but without the generous giving from y'all, we could not do so many great things. But we want our church to be soaked in the mission of God. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that next week. But we want to be a church that if our church vanished today, the community and the world would feel it, would notice it. There is such a level of need. And we need the funds to keep the lights on and the administrative stuff. Unfortunately, that's a part of it. But the far greater emphasis for us is to be a good steward of the funds and do something with it for the kingdom of God. We have several local ministry partners. We support a handful of missionaries. And we want to make our church be all about the mission of God so that as many people in our community and in the world may come to know the life-altering truth and love of Jesus. So let's be a giving church. That we are known for our love, that we value sacrificing our time to raise up the next generation and for the kingdom of God to grow. That we do not give into a spirit of greed, but seek to be generous with all of our resources. Whenever we give, we are becoming more and more like Jesus, who is a servant of all. And we are helping bring heaven to earth. And I think of the words of Jesus, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." We need more workers. May we be people that answer the call as a disciple of Jesus and do the good work to demonstrate the love that God has shown to us. And as we wrap up, I want to pray this prayer. And if you're in agreement with this prayer, I pray that you pray this in your heart as well. But we prayed this a couple days ago to wrap up our spiritual direction cohort, and I thought it was perfect for today. Here's the prayer. Take, Lord, and receive our liberty, our memory, our understanding, and all our wills, all that we possess. You, Lord, have given all that to us. We now give it back to you, O Lord. All of it is yours. Dispose of it according to your will. Give us love of yourself along with your grace, for that is enough for us. May we have a theology of enough. So we're going to conclude our time with taking this survey, but we also want to create an opportunity for us all to give. So there's going to be two QR codes on the screen here in a second, as well as a text that's going to be going around with both of these links. And there will be some physical copies up here by the donation box if you want to grab one of those. But there's going to be one QR code that's specifically for that volunteering survey, that one question survey. It's not going to take time, too much of it. And the other is a link to our giving page. And from that giving page, you will be able to select in the drop-down menu what you want to give to. And today, there's going to be, and I think normally there's an option to give to a mission special collection. And today we're having a specific request from Mike Williams. Mike, if you want to go ahead and come on up here. And an opportunity for you to give to a really wonderful opportunity for one of our missionaries. And also on that same page, that's where you can find the ability to give a one-time donation to our church or to set up a recurring one. But today is a really special opportunity to give to something that's going on with one of our missionaries in a way that we can really be the hands and feet of Jesus. So after Mike shares what he does, we're gonna go ahead and go into that time of taking the survey and create the opportunity to give. And also, I invite any of you, if you finish early or whatever, be praying. Be praying about us as a church, that we're able to do powerful things with what God has blessed us with. Because we really want 4th Avenue to make a huge kingdom impact in the world. And prayer is a big part of that. So we invite you to pray during that time as well. Mike.